Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively here in Towson, not Baltimore, close to Baltimore, but we're here at the CVP in Towson, right here in the heart of where all the good things happen, including WNST. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We call it the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Crab cakes are not served until 4 p.m. here, Pat Scary. The Magic 8 Ball, we rub it, you win. You know, in sports, there's winners, there's non-winners, winning tickets, and then there's, well, you know, we had a hell of a season, and you had a hell of a season, and I wanted to celebrate today and watch Sunday night and get the seeds and all that stuff, but I thought, you know, I wasn't going to not invite you over here. It was just a great, I want to honor you and your guys. I want to tell you how much fun my wife and I had watching the games here. We were at Cooper's Pub on Monday. I was over at the school a couple weeks ago. This is a nice building block for your program. Can we call it that at this point? Is it too early?
No, it's great for our guys. We're a really good group of guys. You know, proud of them to go 16-2 and win the regular season title. Wish we played, you know, better on Monday night. They all do, but I mean, it doesn't take away from, you know, what they accomplished. I've said this all along. It's harder to be the best team for 4 months than it is for 4 days. You got to do both. But, you know, I don't want any of our guys. They've won our second conference championship in the last 4 years. We have never done that in the history of Towson University. So, you know, we've won 75% of our conference games in the last 4 years, and no one else in our league has done that. So we're in good shape. We've got great administration, not good. And now comes the fun time of year. You got to re-put together the roster.
Well, you built something. I mean, there's a fellow right behind you with a Towson banner, right? Like, there's definitely was something building over at the gym. My buddy Chris, who runs a Towson Torch, a couple weeks ago said, "Hey, man, I went to the game with my kids and this and that." And then I'd had you on already, and I didn't even promote the autism stuff. And I showed up. Everybody's in baby blue. I saw Vince Fiducia there from Pathfinders. I saw my friends from Itineris. A lot of different groups you had there. But I felt the energy in the gym and the energy that built here 2 weeks ago. You know, I was here with Terry. I was here in Louisville, Michigan, you know, 30 years ago. We're going back now. That's the kind of energy that I loved about what UMBC did a number of years ago, or what Coppin did. By the way, it was 27 years ago today that Coppin won the big game in the tournament. So these locals, when good things happen, there really is a momentum for the whole community to come out and be a part of it. And I think it's a building block to, you know, new building, people coming out, people maybe not experience it or finding their way to your games and finding their way onto campus. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we were really excited, you know, to have 5,000 people there, back-to-back nights. You know, Steve Eigen brought our AD and President Ginsburg, you know, giveaways for the students. Like, it's what college basketball is supposed to look like, and the feel, the energy, and it did. So, we're appreciative of that. Obviously, the winning helps. But I think when people do step onto campus, just like when you come uptown here in Towson and you see how nice it really is, you want to come back because you have a good experience. Good,
I didn't have any trouble getting you here today. You didn't have any problem coming to downtown Towson.
No,
you're like, no, make it easy.
But I live close by, so that's
I know
easy.
You do. I know, and I would just say for all the years you've been here, and Pat Scary's our guest. We're at CVP if you're out. The last time I had you on, I talked about what you inherited, and I would say empty, broken program, but wherever it was, it wasn't good, and you inherited it and tried to build it up. But to remember the night when there were only a couple hundred people in the gym, you know, in the old gym, right? Or even in the new gym when things weren't going well, and you got this beautiful gym, and it's got old athletic directors here, just trying to build something that you walked onto the floor, and I saw you down in D.C., and I'm just like, man, I have such great admiration for anybody that can take something and see it through. See it through. I mean, there's a dependability, reliability, consistency that's so necessary to be in a leadership role. Like, even just moving pre-NIL to NIL to have this kind of success, I have great admiration for it. I do.
No, I appreciate that. You know, you work with good people. It's, you know, we've had a good run here, and then, you know, COVID hits. And then, honestly, since COVID, it's a different game. Transfer portal, NIL, it's not the same game.
How has it had to make you different? What's been different if I – because I haven't talked to you in a number of years about that. I've run into you around town or whatever. But what was life like before and now, and how have you navigated these 5 years?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, we had a tough experience during COVID. It just, the train was off the tracks. And ever since then, it gave us an opportunity to, hey, how do we play offense? What type of kids do we recruit? How do we attempt to retain them? How can we invest in them? And we've been fortunate to have, I think, the right type of representatives of Towson University. And, you know, now I've got a really good administration that understands that once you have, you know, talented student athletes and the right type of representatives, what can we do to retain talent, you know, and that's just,
we got to make kids happy, right?
Yeah.
It is different than maybe it was in God,
it's
passing of John Feinstein today, talking about Bobby Knight, right? It is a little different when I've got you here 4 years and you're a part of the, you know, there is a power difference in what your job used to be and what it is. I've heard so many coaches talk about that.
Yeah, it's the whole game's changed, you know what I mean? That's why, like I said, we take a lot of pride in that we're, in the last 4 years, 54-18 in the CAA, you know, and it, trying to find the right type of kids. Now, where we're lucky is there's so many good grassroots and high school programs from Baltimore up into Philly down to Northern Virginia that if, you know, the more those talented student-athletes we can keep at home, the better. We've got a lot of, you know, kids from great schools and good households.
Sure.
And, you know, that are really good fits at Towson. But I say this to people all the time. If we can get people to come up to Towson or on our university, they're blown away by how nice it is.
Well, I think I am as well in the new building. And I guess that's what I was started with the beginning of this, is saying 5,000 people coming out to see your kids play, that the recruitment part of that is we've got an experience here now. And I don't know that you ever really had that to sell. You had an education to sell. You're a good man, good basketball coach, Towson. You had all these pros, but you didn't have that we're going to have a packed gym, or we're expecting to have a packed gym. And when you come to school here, not that you're a big shot on campus, but you're a part of recruiting that part of that and a part of making it better and being and I would think for every kid in the old days that could say, well, I can't leave here, the notion that I can leave here but I don't want to is that's what you're looking for in any relationship in the world. The people that work here want to work here. The people that I'm here doing sports radio today with you because I want to be. You want those kids to want to be there, not to be sad that they can't get out. Maybe in the old days was a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot. Like, you know, I've used the phrase a lot. You know, Towson University is standing up. It's becoming a major research university. You know, we're rated the number one public university in the state. We've got great athletic programs. So many more kids live on campus now.
I already live here. I love it.
Yeah, we've been deemed a growth institution in the state. You know, so there's a lot to make that experience. You know, the athletic piece. My dad, who's was a lawyer for 40 years. He's always told me you're in the entertainment business. You're just like pro wrestling. So it when you say fan experience, like, that's all tied to it. I think, like,
well, I know you just want to coach ball.
No, but
it's different
than,
when there's an atmosphere there, though. That, right?
No,
I mean, there's
it's
for
totally
the kids,
different.
For you, for your heart beating, all of it, right?
It's totally different. You know, it's this is the first time we have 9-0 and conference play at home. I mean, you know, 16-2 tied a record for the best CA record in conference history. There's been a lot of really good teams in this conference over 35 years. So when you have a packed environment, that helps. And the
I had to stand in line in the cold to get in 2 weeks ago.
We got a lot of videos. We've improved our Zoom presentations. We've been working on that this week, you know, because we're, you know, you get into recruiting mode a little bit. But all that stuff is good. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to our administration for understanding, like, the food, the T-shirts, the giveaways. Like, when you have students and young people in those buildings, it gives it great energy. And we certainly had more of that than ever. And, it means a lot. You know, you take a lot of pride in seeing that, and it gets you excited.
I'm here with Pat Scarry. We're at CVP. We're at Towson. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I do have the Magic 8-Balls. I did have a lucky four group over here. Two winners, two $5 winners. I'll say this. Now, and you can talk about the tournament a little bit in your play last weekend, but There was something about Sunday. I was here, and it was packed here. It was packed in the back. It was packed in the front. Towson everywhere. I sat right here at the bar where your assistant coaches are sitting, where Chris is sitting, and we watched the games. This one was about 2 minutes behind. That one was a minute behind because it was streaming. There was only one TV in the back that was in real time. So everybody's watching that one, screaming. And my wife's like, well, something good happened. Just wait 30 seconds. It'll happen here. So the streaming part of it. But watching on TV, you could see there weren't a lot of people there. And listen, I'm an old school March Madness guy. And I remember how excited I was in the 90s to go to my first March Madness games. And I was always blown away that I would get on a plane and fly to Oakland to see Joe Smith play for the Terps. Or I'd get on a plane and fly to Knoxville to see Steve Francis play for the Terps. And all of those tournament games, because of the travel and this and that, it's just like, it's not the same as 5,000 people in the gym on a Sunday, and it's crazy, and it's, you know, electric, and it's all of that. And I did feel, even on the Monday night watching, there's a different vibe for any athlete to play in that condition. I think this for baseball. When Camden Yards was empty versus going to Yankee Stadium, it's full. There's something about being in that environment that you've created here that's really going to benefit your program. You're going to win even more, because more people are going to be coming out. There's going to be a real home field. There's going to be all of that. But tournaments lack that a little bit, right?
Sometimes, you know, it's in that funny area. You know, one, they don't ever ask. Coaches don't make those decisions where you're playing conference tournaments. I personally would be fine if we played on campus at the higher seeds, only because, like, on the flip side, there's very few better feelings in sports than when you win a big road game, you know, in front of a hostile crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So I get it. You know, the flip side is, this isn't a knock on some of the other conferences, but, like, you know, the Patriot League and the America East and the MEAC, those aren't mid-major conferences. Those are low-major conferences. The CAA is a mid-major conference, just like the Mid-American or the Sun Belt or Conference USA. So the trend seems to be that the mid-major conferences play on neutral courts, just like the big boys.
Well, it also gives you a chance. What Delaware did to you and through the conference was playing every day, right?
Yeah.
That is what makes it so hard. If you had done it, it would have been hard. And if you don't do it, it's hard, right? Just playing every day, it's not normal to do that, right?
No, but that's what makes, you know, March Madness fun
sure,
and exciting. I mean, that's what you sign up for. That's what gets eyes on the sports. It's like, I tell you, like, you know, you're paid to win every game. At least I think I am. So, like, you know, we always tell our guys, hey, we're going to schedule aggressively in the non-conference, with the hope that we strike gold. And now if you go 12-1, now you've put yourself in a totally different ballpark as
sure,
far as metrics and, you know, committees and all that stuff. Then the next piece is you got your conference season. Can you win a conference championship? And then if you're fortunate to do that, you got to flip the script quickly, and then you got to go play in whatever it is, a 3-4, 5-day tournament, and you got to play better than everyone else. But that's what creates, you know, excitement. Like I was telling my staff yesterday, hey, man, if Delaware, I didn't realize if they had won the whole tournament, that a 12 seed had never won a conference tournament in the history of college basketball. I said, I didn't even know that. That would have been the first time that
they were talking about that on Monday night, yeah, as part of the broadcast, because they had great broadcasters Monday night.
But
too,
at the end of the day, they lost 20 games. Is that a good year? They had a great week.
Oh, yeah.
Great week.
They played spoiler, right? Like,
right,
literally.
They played great, yeah. Like, you know, I'm not disrespecting them, but if we lose 20 games, my staff will tell you that we're not sitting around having cocktails. You know, we're not really – we're more saying, man, how do we lose 20 games? We got to be better.
Right.
So, but that's what gets eyes on the sport is, you know, tournaments are exciting, you know, but they can be equally or more exciting when they play at on campus.
Oh, of course. Had that game Monday been on campus, it would have been electric, right? And I just think it's a different environment.
It is.
And I think when kids come out in the biggest game of the year and it doesn't feel that way necessarily in the building, I think that's a college basketball issue that goes back 30 year. That's not a CA thing. Yeah. That's not an MEC. MEAC.
It's a
just,
television. It's a
television. It's a television
issue.
World. Yeah. And I think it's also for the MEAC, and we're broadcasting as we're sitting here right now. The ladies at Coppin are playing. They gather everybody into one place as a conference to try, and DC was part of that for you. Tourism, bring people in, so. Family, springtime. I love that it was in D.C. I kind of had one foot in the bucket to go down there Tuesday night with Chris and the rest of everybody to cheer you on. And it was close enough that we could get there. But going down Sunday, down Monday, down Tuesday, it's like, you're going to win Monday. We'll go down Tuesday.
I know I took it for granted.
You never take it for granted.
No, sometimes being close you do. It's traffic and all that stuff. I think that's why I usually Saturday, Sundays pop it in there pretty good. You get a little bit nervous on
We would have been Tuesday. There Tuesday. That would have been a Towson thing going on Tuesday.
No, anyway. Our people showed up. They were great. They were great on Sunday. They've been great all year. But it's not necessarily bad. It's just
it was fun in here.
I bet.
It was fun in here.
Hopefully we got
you guys kept it close on Sunday too in some way. It made it. You know,
wasn't by design.
I know it wasn't by design. Pat Scarry's here. He's the head coach of all things Towson. Let the audience in a little bit on what you say to your kids. I obviously saw the palpable disappointment from Tahati. It's just in a general sense of what you went through. Come back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today's Friday. You're here. I'm appreciative. The last couple of days in trying to level set young people.
Well, I don't think that's ever easy to do. It's an emotional game, and you're dealing with young kids, and they put a lot into it. You know, we've had meetings with all our guys. I don't think we're getting in the NIT, but that hasn't been ruled out. So
what is that in the modern era?
It's a huge thing.
But what does it mean to get involved? I mean, how what's the process? You won a lot of games, man.
Next best 30 teams in the country. You know, the future of the NIT, I don't know if that changes because they might expand the tournament, but you know, in the past, we would automatically be in the NIT because we won the regular season title. This is the first year they've stripped that.
Thank you for telling me that because I'm not educated. Literally,
the NCAA and Dan Gavitt did a shameful thing last year by making that change, which
opens the door to more big money schools, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, right?
It does. So you know, but we've had meetings with guys, and honestly, what happens in our sport now, which is different. A week from this Monday, the transfer portal opens for 45 days. So, you know, for us, we're hopeful to retain all or most of our roster. And then if not, we have to add a couple pieces. So we'll go into the portal. So it's become a little different where some teams are still fortunate to be playing, but everybody is going to deal with this you know, this is like now a year-to-year deal. And quite honestly, we have a couple of very good players. And when I met with them, my game plan for them is not a two-year plan, as I told. It's a one-year plan. These are all one-year plans now, one-year
That's
deal.
An amazing thing. You're like, I got some great players coming back. Maybe. No coach can say that anymore, right? Like,
you would say,
I got a sophomore and I got a junior. Next year I'll have two juniors. You know, like, that was the way basketball has been since I was an embryo.
Yeah, right. and you know, this was Camelot this year. You know, we kept our 10 out of 11 guys, and we did it for, you know, 10% of what College of Charleston did it for, and, you know, 20% of what UNC Wilmington did it for. So you can't do that again. And the good thing is our administration knows that, and, you know, we've made some changes in that, but that's it's just different now. You know, it's just different. Like my AD, I've told you, Steve Eigenbrot's great. We did a Zoom call the week of the conference tournament with like roughly 20 donors/supporters, and he said to me, "Are you okay if I let everyone know that, you know, Wilmington spent $500,000 and Charleston spent $1.1 million and we spent $100,000? I'm like, sure. Doesn't make me look bad, but moving.
But there is math now. This didn't exist 5 years ago. Certainly not 15 years ago.
No, and this is the first year we've ever been involved in it. And now we're about to get a heck of a lot more involved in it because it becomes like you used to say to coaches, recruit, win, repeat. Now it's recruit, win, retain.
Recruit more.
Or go into the portal, repeat. Like, I would prefer personally to retain guys that are here and here for the right reasons and are a good fit at our university. Well, it doesn't mean we won't go in the portal. Like, we could be going in the portal for one guy. We could be going in the portal for two, three, four guys.
What, from a an education and money standpoint and scholarship standpoint, how does that work at this point?
Well, they become student athletes, especially in the sport of men's and women's basketball and in Division I-A football, will be on contracts. You know, that's the kind of the new deal.
Literally a contract, right? Just right.
Yeah, it's. I mean, so there's some things that come with any contract, but that's like it's changed. It's the toothpaste is out of the tube. It ain't going back in the tube unless there's stuff that gets figured out at the congressional level, which. My old man called me this morning to tell me he was all over C-SPAN. A lot of congressmen and senators were debating this stuff. And I'm like, that's great, because I think if it could get a little more, what's the right, you know.
Structure?
State to state, yeah.
Yeah, structure.
I think
yeah.
would be good for everyone. But it certainly has, the train has left the station.
I remember like 2 years ago, Gary Williams gave a speech out at the Connects event. In Hunt Valley. I went after that. It's right about now. It was this time of year. And he said that, well, it's the Wild Wild West. Somebody's going to have to put some guardrails in. There'll be guardrails put in. And half the people in the room, and I, you know, and then I started doing radio. And I think I had Feinstein on, and I probably talked about it on the air today with John's passing, that I'm like, who? Who's going to put the guardrails on? I think the whole idea was to get rid of all of the NCAA that had been for 25, 30 years, maybe even longer, back to at least Ed O'Bannon, right? At least that far back, to say that it was always sort of in peril and there never was a real structure for it other than business, right? A typical American business, and that's kind of what it's become now, contractual business.
Yeah, I mean, it has. I think if, you know, I'm godly optimistic that they'll get a little more structure to it. What I'm thankful for is that our university, because the way it's growing, is committed to what.
You're well placed, is what you think.
I do. I really think since President Ginsburg and Steve Eigenbrod have gotten here, they get it. You know, and doesn't mean we don't have challenges. Like I said, for us, it's. Hey, how do we compete with Charleston and Wilmington?
Outspending you 10 times in one
that's,
case, right?
That's, sure. That's where it's been. And the good thing is this year we were able to do that. We didn't share a conference title with them.
The Yankees outspent the Orioles, but the Orioles do okay. You know what I mean? It's a little bit like that.
It's 100% like that. I look at the Orioles a lot. I grew up a Red Sox fan, but I look at what the Orioles have done the last couple of years, and it's amazing to me. And I get it. Got to play better in the play, all that stuff. But I look at what they do over 162 games, and I say that is an unbelievably efficient and an effective organization to do it like that. We talk a lot about, even in our staff and putting together our roster, we got to be like Billy Beane and Oakland A's baseball a little bit.
A little money ball?
Yeah. But
Tiger ball.
Now we got a little more – we got a lot more resources coming up than we've ever had, so I'm excited about putting that – in motion, and really hopefully retaining the – Utopia will be retaining the entire roster.
Well, that is utopian, is it not?
It sure is.
Well, when you play well and you have this level of success, I had the Coppin ladies coach on, and they're playing right now. I had Coach Woods on, and I haven't talked to a lot of you, and I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. I had him on, and he's like, yeah, my girl Layla, man, she's playing great. He's like, you know, I mean, in the modern era, if she plays too great, somebody else will call with more money. That literally is, that's a ladies' game, certainly the men's game. Your guys were on radar. I mean, you had a, you know, you're not sneaking in anymore, Pat, right, the last
no,
four seasons?
But with all these guys, and we're fortunate they come from great families, I want what is the kid thinks is best for him. And now, I do think in a lot of the cases the best thing is, hey, you need to be here for the next year so that we can help you realize your goals both athletically and academically. I also think we're in a position where, if it's unfortunately not a couple of guys that were here this past year that could come back, then we'll find the next guy. We've got a pretty good track record.
Well, they graduate anyway at some point, and you have to go get new players.
Yeah, and you know, I've got a great staff, and you know, what we've always said is we're going to try to build really good habits for our student-athletes, and we do that by dominating their day with a routine. So I've got a great staff. Like, if you're part of our program, we try to herd you like cattle from point A to point B as much as humanly possible. So I tell guys all the time, man, when you keep the car on the road, right, you reach the destination. Every time we get off the exit, the wrong exit, we drain gas. We
got to turn around,
money,
waste time, sit at red lights.
Right, and we don't get where we're trying to get to.
Right.
So when we're trying to –
educator. This is the educator.
That's it. Yeah, when you get talented guys and you can get them to form good habits, those guys tend to have great success. And that's what you see with the Williamson, Tejada, May, Tark, Suleiman. Those guys had, you know, Lowry, they got really good habits. So – and they got talent. So when you have that, then you can have success, right?
I like good shooting, though, right? I mean,
you look like you're coaching.
Right. Well, the shooting obviously left a little bit on Monday. That's what I meant about empty gym, just all of the environment. I remember the guys would go into those big domes and couldn't shoot in the tournament. I know you knew that. But just the mind frame to come back and say we can complete this next year. There's a lot of that too, and I can tell how much your guys. I was on the court when senior day. I was down there at the table watching moms, dads, families. You honored team members that weren't uniform members and personnel. You had a photographer. You had everybody out on the court, and you know I helicopter into these things, right? And just to watch it, I sat real close, and I just saw a lot of love. The thing you're talking about being herded together with guys who liked being together this year.
Yeah, that piece I don't take for granted at all. You know, I said all the time, you're paid to win games, but the best part of the job is the relationships you're afforded the opportunity to make and build. That's by far the best part of the job.
Well, and there's also guys getting along with each other, too. You don't always – not easy to have 15 guys travel around for 6 months – basketball to get along all 19, 20, 21.
We've been really fortunate since COVID. Like I said, the right type of guys.
What's the right type of guy? What does that mean for you?
Well, I think for me, a lot of it comes from the type of home they're from. You know, do they understand what it means to be a good teammate? Do they understand how to work? They understand about shared values, mutual respect, take coaching, take instruction. So
I'm trying to meet one kid like that. You got a whole team full?
I tell you, we've had a lot of good guys like that. Yeah, I'm serious. That doesn't mean they're perfect all the time.
Well, young people get bagged on everything. Just, you know.
No, we've had a lot of really, really good ones, really, really good ones with that. And you know, I'm just appreciative of that. I think the challenge now, the quest is as when you add guys, trying to make sure you add the right guys, not just good players, because that's obviously important, but good people, because if you have pretty good talent with good people, you can elevate them pretty quickly.
Is there a feeling you in some cases, and I know, you know, Gary Williams went through this with Steve Francis 30 years ago, right? That to some degree you get a young person for 1 year and that might be all. You know, going into it, you don't think of it. You maybe think of it 4 years. Maybe they do in the beginning, but you know better at this point. There's no pretense about that anymore.
No,
right? Literally.
I'm not. Like I said, I want them here for as long as it makes sense for them to be here on both ends.
Well, it is two-way, right?
No, it is. It's, you know, there are a lot more. Here's the flip side of all this. There are a lot more butts than there are seats on the bench, so we'll fail the competitive roster.
Pat Scarry's here. He's the head coach for all things Towson Tigers. I like to say it's the off season. We're about to go into March, but it's never off season. What do you do now? This has got to be the worst because you wanted to be preparing for the tour. Like this is the 8 or 10 days here. That's probably really weird because this was not scheduled for you.
You know what? We would have had player meetings regardless. We had already had that planned, even if we were fortunate enough to win, because the portal's opening when the portal's opening. So now it's about how do we put together a competitive roster? You know, we're reconstructed, whether that means retaining or adding some new pieces, and you know we'll be on spring break, and then we'll get right back into lifts and workouts for, you know, 6 weeks until finals hit. These guys have big jobs. They go after finals end. They get about, you know, anywhere from a week to 2 weeks home, And then they're back on campus for 9 weeks in the summer, then get about 3 weeks off in August.
So they're home. They're here with you all summer.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're working.
Class or ball?
Both.
Both. Getting some credits out of the way, making life a little easier?
Both, yeah.
Mandatory, or is that normal for the way basketball is done at Division I now?
At our level and up, it's normal. I think some schools are a little below, like our conference, maybe don't have the resources all summer, but our guys are here for, you know, 9 weeks.
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with that from, like, the NFL model. When the Ravens came here, I'm like, so players go home in January? Where do they, you know, baseball players go home.
Yeah,
baseball players just get out. They might come back for a caravan. I've often, with college sports now that it is, there is money involved, but also, like, your level of commitment changed your summer a little bit, June, July, and all, from a coaching standpoint, because that was not an on-court time, right? That was, like, even a time where you get put in a clink if you did that, right? Like, working with the kids too much, right?
Yeah, not. I mean, now it lasts, like, 8-10 years, maybe even longer. It's they're
it's here. A lifestyle change.
Yeah, they're here in the summer, and then when, second, third day of August hits, it's like a jailbreak. Everyone wants to get out of here, and then you leave everyone alone, staff included.
For 4 weeks.
About three.
They come back right around Labor Day?
Yeah, like maybe 4 or 5 days before that, you know, classes start. So, but it's you know, we do leave them alone on the weekends all summer.
Well, what's your job now? Like, recruiting? What is?
Yeah, it's
what?
Changed. It's changed. It's obviously recruiting, and there's some basketball stuff that comes with that. But I've now become like a general manager and president of operations, because we're dealing with retention, we're dealing with portal, we're dealing with you know, some monies to pay some student athletes. So it's just changed. It doesn't make it bad. It's just different. That's all.
Not what you thought you were getting into 14 years ago.
I'm fine with all that. I haven't lost. I got a good 10, 12 years in me. I got a lot of juice in the tank. If I ever felt like I didn't have the juice to do this, I would do something else.
What do you love about it?
Just how do you get better? One. You know, how do we do it better? And then, two, just, you know, being around staff and student athletes every day. I've always said it beats working.
Well, I got you off campus here for about a half an hour. We're here at the CVP. Pat Scarry's holding a big summit here with his coaching staff today. I think Chris is here. We got some other Towson folks coming over from Startup, as well as yeah, I'm a yoga person. So Susan's coming over from Up Dog Yoga. I'm going to do some hot yoga with her here on the air. We got to stay in shape. It's never off season. You know this, right?
I've been there before. I got to get back there.
She texted me a little while ago, and she said Pat Scarry has done yoga at Up Dog. She texted me
awesome.
And told me that.
I got to get back in there. I do. She's great.
Have you done hot? Are you hot yoga or no? Just regular yoga. What are you doing?
I'm like beginner yoga. You know, I'm
beginner?
Like I'm like yoga.
4 points.
I'm like yoga. We need help. They're not using me in any advertising.
You're an athlete.
You know, I can tell you that. Yeah.
You're an athlete and an athletic supporter. You're all the above.
Go to Up Dog.
Go to Up Dog. Yeah, all right. He's gonna get me sweaty over there.
I appreciate you having me on.
I always appreciate seeing you. For people out there to be involved in your program, the next couple of months, you're gonna be out doing some stuff. I mean, around town. Part of this is, you've built a little something now, even just coming out and hanging out with me a little bit. I want to go back and see 5,000 people in that gym every game. I really do.
Absolutely. You know, get out to our spring sports at Towson. We got a lot of really
Lax going on, baseball.
We got a lot of great spring teams, and we got great fields, and you'll have a good experience. And then get online and join the GOAT Collective, GOHCollective.com, baby.
When you're not going to the Blackbird Club or giving Mr. Rubin, we're all sports, man, you know.
The entertainment industry.
Just like your brother. What kind of lawyer was your brother? Your father? Your father was a lawyer, right?
Yep, he's just general practice. Both my brothers also have law licenses, lawyers.
No wonder you're so good at navigating all this.
I don't know. I wasn't smart enough. I was a coach.
Barrister Scarry here. Absolutely. So I appreciate the season you guys have had. And did you know John Feinstein? I just wanted to open that door for a minute.
Tremendous. Yeah, he was good. He was a good friend. He did a lot of our games back on Comcast at Towson. And
I thought he did. That's
big,
why I wanted to ask you.
Big reader of his books, and I was shocked and disappointed to hear that. But John's obviously just a brilliant, brilliant man.
Well, I saw him all the time at UMBC when he was calling games down there when they first opened the gym. And obviously, you know, the Odom family relationship and him coming up and being a part of that. I figured you knew. I mean, I just figured he came to your – you were a really good team. You're a good guy. You've been here a long time.
Yeah, he did a lot
he would find his way to Towson, even as a just to watch your team play because he was a basketball head, you know. Yep. And people think of him, the golf community feels like they own him in that way. The college basketball community obviously feels like they own him. Washington feels like they own him a little bit from the post. It's amazing how many places he dabbled. And I pay tribute to him today. I had about 24 hours of conversations with him in the last 10, 12 years that I could find. Now, we did stuff before that. I don't know where the tapes are of any of that. So probably on real tapes, you know, that I haven't transcribed. But I had all of this digital, and all of it was timeless, ageless. It wasn't about your game on Saturday night or what the Redskins were doing or the Capitals or anything like that. It was storytelling. And all of it, I mean, his stories with Woodward at the Post, talking about Watergate and just the political side of all that, there was a whole depth to him way beyond Bobby Knight and Krzyzewski and college basketball or golf and all that he did with majors there. Just an icon. I'm trying to think of anybody like him that I could reach out to. And on a personal level, just the loss I feel that I texted him last week to come on a show and he didn't get back to me. And I went through all my threads this morning. And I'm like, he never not got back to me. Like in the history of our lives, usually I text him within an hour. I'd have a time and he'd show up on the Zoom and it'd be the best piece we would do every week. You know, in that week, if you had John Feinstein on, it ran an afternoon drive, it ran a morning drive because it was great.
Sure.
Because he was just that kind of guy. And I knew you knew him somehow.
Yeah.
Well, he's a college basketball guy, just like you. Pat Scarry's got to get back to affording players, recruiting players, keeping players, retaining players, making their families happy. Well, you made everybody around here happy, so well.
Appreciate you, brother.
We'll be with you next year as well. Pat Scarry, our head coach. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. The Magic 8 Ball is with us, and we're here at CVP. We're going to be next Friday at Pizza John's in Essex. Forgot to even ask Pat if he's ever been to Essex for some pizza, but we're going to get that done as well. I am Nestor. We're back for more at CVP. We're Baltimore Positive in WNST. Stay with us.